You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
When it mattered most, when the Chinese were covering this up in early January of 2020, Dr. Fauci certainly would have seen the same intelligence that I saw. We would certainly have known that the risk that this came from the laboratory was real. We would have known that the Chinese Communist Party didn't want any of us to know that. And that raised red flags throughout the entire United States government for far too long. Dr. Fauci let those of us who were out there talking about it carry the mantle. And we couldn't get science. We got politics instead. And that's what you saw in the left-wing media. You saw politics trumping science. And that delayed our capacity to respond to what the Chinese Communist Party foisted upon the world.
June the 4th, 2021, those words direct from former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. We heard the left, and at that time the mainstream media, constantly condemning Trump and his supporters. You're not following the science. You're letting politics get involved. We now know it was just the opposite. Trump was trying to follow the science. Pompeo was trying to follow the science. They had suspicions, but Dr. Fauci was not being fully candid with them, and certainly the Chinese weren't, not to mention the World Health Organization. Pompeo says these thousands of emails that have now been gathered through a Freedom of Information Act by BuzzFeed and Washington Post are unveiling just how much Fauci was keeping from us. He is charged, of course, to help with assisting and protecting Americans. But as it turned out, he loved being the left-wing darling. He never directly criticized Trump. You have to give him that. He knew how to play the game. Never really came right out and said, Trump is wrong. He just kind of danced around it. But they got the message. You know, it's a little wink-wink. I got it. I know what you're saying. Now Dr. Fauci is finally, according to the Financial Times, putting in a request direct to China. What does he want? He says, I would like to see the medical records of the three people who are reported to have gotten sick in 2019. Did they really get sick? And if so, what did they get sick with? That's why he ended it with a preposition. So be it. He's a scientist. Now, he's talking about those three scientists that the New York Times reported a couple of weeks ago. They got sick, went to the hospital weeks before we began to hear the first breaks of COVID. And that time, the Chinese government would say, no, they all came out the flu, just came out the flu at the same time. Now, Fauci is asking for, I'd like to see the medical records of them. Now? Why? Well, because he's in the crosshairs right now. Everyone is angry at what's been going on, not only in this nation, but around the world. Not just the deaths and the suffering in this nation, but around the world. If Fauci had been doing his job as he should have been and not kowtowing and kind of protecting any conflicts of interest he had, we would have all gotten this information maybe sooner, maybe not, but at least we'd all been on the same page rather than constantly looking for a way in giving a weapon to the left to demonize Donald Trump and those who are raising questions that China's got to be responsible for this. It's Wuhan virus. And by the way, Mike Pompeo has a dire and a very scary warning about that lab. We'll get into that before we wrap up over the next 2 hours. China, in the meantime, grand theft of American intel. Grand theft from our corporations, our government. China making moves to get into space. How much is that going to hurt us? China on our campus. What are they doing? And inside U.S. corporations. We'll be joined by Lee Edwards with the Heritage Foundation with some background details of what's taking place because it is scary. And, of course, we have the Russian hacking still underway, much less China hacking. President Biden's supposed to have a meeting Well, Putin, is he really going to get tough or just kind of, I would like you to stop? Can you? Please, please? And then the former vice president, Mike Pence, gave a speech last night that leftists are rushing for and say, look, look at what he did. Mike Pence just gutted any chance of Donald Trump returning in 2024, gutted any chance of any Republican winning in 2024. What did Mike Pence say? We've got that for you. And supersonic jets. Supersonic jets that could get you from New York to London in less than 3.5 hours. They might be coming back. One airline already putting an order in. It's all coming up over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be 2, 3, maybe 4 times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Your number, oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called too many times. You can call me, baby, you can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We can't do this alone. That's the message from the White House to private companies in the growing war against cyber attacks. A rare open letter, first obtained by CNN, was sent today by the top cyber official on the National Security Council, Anne Neuberger, to business leaders nationwide, appealing for immediate action, saying, "We urge you to take ransomware crime seriously and ensure your corporate cyber defenses match the threat." The government is limited in what it can force companies to do, while attackers only get more brazen.
So that's a report, believe it or not, direct from CNN. I let you hear it unedited. As they're talking about that they have a piece of a letter, I should say the letter, and others are picking up now as well, that says the government sent out a special notice to private businesses. You got to step up. You got to step up and be ready for more attacks, ransomware. Of course, we've had most recently the meatpacking company. They got hit hard and they're back online. We don't know if they paid a ransom or not. We have also had the Colonial Pipeline that shut down a lot of fuel going to the Northeast. Supposedly, they did pay a ransom. And, of course, the government's trying to tell everyone, don't pay any ransoms. If you do, it's going to encourage more. Well, we know that. And so the company. And so do the hackers. But if they've got you by the, you know, you got to find a way to get out from under it. So what the government now is doing, saying that corporations need to step up and take a bigger role in their own protection. Well, obviously they want to do that. I mean, no company out there wants to simply open its door and leave it open at night for folks to come in and take whatever they've got in place. We understand that. But what is the government actually doing? What are they doing? other than sending out a letter encouraging businesses to be tougher? Are they doing what they should? Are they actually making things happen? Are they actually penalizing? Are we actually moving forward and at the same time making sure that these companies, I'd rather these foreign actors, be they in Russia, China, Ukraine, wherever, that they pay a price? The answer, my friend, has to be probably not. There's a new report out that many companies definitely need a particular series of chips, microchips. And the country holding access to a lot of those chips would be, let me see, let's go through the ABCs. Let me see, A would be Argentina. No, that wasn't Argentina. B, Brazil, no. C, what's the first country that comes to mind with a C? Costa Rica? No, that wouldn't be it. China. So they're in a way holding much of the world at hostage already. We are going to, later in this hour, get into more detail of what China is actually doing inside our nation. Lee Edwards with the Heritage Foundation says it is China's grand theft, and they're not just stealing cars. And we're going to talk about also China in space and what their plans are there and how that's going to affect not just our nation, but the world. But speaking of our nation, how China is on our campuses and inside our corporations, even as I speak. So we've got two enemies out there. They have been sworn enemies of this nation for a long time. Now, you know, during World War II, we kind of got cozy with Russia, and then that all went south with the Cold War. But Russia's still in play. Putin has made it very clear, even though he's got this meeting coming up with Biden, that he's kind of setting the stage, in other words, setting it up to show that we really aren't that worried about you guys, and we're getting no respect from Russia, we're getting no respect from China, none from North Korea, or any other group that's against this nation. Why? Well, because they see the leftists and the progressive agenda just rapidly moving forward. The very fact that we talk about dismantling police departments, defunding them, taking police departments and turning them into something else, how is that possibly going to be to our benefit? And when these nations watch this happen, well, they watch that our border is wide open as it is, and they know they can smuggle any of their spies or jihadists right across our border and have very little chance of being caught, and in fact, might be given a plane ticket to anywhere they want to go in the U.S. They're not just laughing at us. They're absolutely applauding what the progressives are doing to our country and making it easier for them to come in and rape us one way or the other. But, of course, if you want the official line as to what the White House is doing, especially reference Russia, let's go back to CNN and NNN and White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki talking.
Our focus is on the disruption of ransomware infrastructure and actors, including through close cooperation with the private sector. Part of that communication, building an international coalition.
Press Secretary Jen Psaki said that the string of recent Russian cyber attacks by both government and criminal hackers will be a topic at the president's summit in Geneva in 2 weeks. In the meantime, a White House official tells CNN they are looking at ways to require stronger cybersecurity standards for those companies that operate critical infrastructure.
So there you have it. They're looking at ways to talk and deal with it, and they're talking to the corporations, and in the meantime, ransomware is continuing. The U.S. Department of Justice in April created, and I'm surprised it's just now being created, a ransomware task force. Yeah, what is this, June? So less than 2 months ago, they decided to create a ransomware task force in the U.S. Department of Justice. They declared 2020 the worst year ever for extortion-related cyber attacks. It seems to be getting worse. The first half of 2021 already seeing a 102% increase in ransomware attacks. That's according to a report from a cybersecurity firm, Checkpoint Software. And that doesn't even include the most recent events. We talked about the big ones a moment ago. We talked about Colonial Pipeline. We talked about the meatpacking industry. We talked about others. There's a ferry operator in Martha's Vineyard, Cape Cod, Nantucket, a ferry operator hit by a ransomware attack. Now, would that involve one of the foreign actors hiding inside Russia or China? Well, we don't really know right now. But what we do know is that when Putin and Biden meet, we have to ask, is Biden really going to make an impression? Will he even remember what he's supposed to discuss? And we'll go back to the words of Texas Congressman Michael McCaul, Republican, ranking member of the House Foreign Affairs, which I let you hear yesterday. It's worth repeating again why Biden needs to be tough when he meets with Putin.
You cannot somehow dissect Putin from these criminal organizations in Russia that carry out these ransomware attacks. It's all interrelated with the oligarchs in Russia. Perhaps he didn't give direct approval, but certainly tacit approval. To say that Putin was unaware of this and doesn't benefit from these attacks, I think, is a very naive perspective of how Russia operates and who Putin really is.
Absolutely. Make no mistake about it. So when they meet in Geneva, when Biden sits down with Putin and they start looking at this and they start looking at some of the incidents we've had already, are they actually going to get tough about it? Are they actually going to do something that really leads to some resolution and, in fact, protects the U.S., our corporations, and any other possible victim? Well, again, if you listen to Jen Psaki in the White House, we're ready.
This will certainly be a topic of discussion, that harboring criminal entities that are intending to do harm, that are doing harm to the critical infrastructure in the United States, is not acceptable. We're not going to stand by that. We will raise that, and we are not going to take options off the table.
We're not taking options off the table. Well, I've always been a fan of not telling your opponent what options you have. And I'm not asking them to lay out options that they will activate. But we could guess some, don't you imagine? But in the meantime, what the White House is doing, under an executive order signed by Joe Biden, requiring companies doing work for the government to improve their cybersecurity practices, and that Congress should do the same and expand that to other private firms. And, of course, we just have companies across the U.S. that may not have direct government contracts that they need to step up and increase their security. Obviously, they want to. You know they do. Nobody wants, as I said, to leave the back door open at night. But if we're going to have any real effect, if we're going to have anything that really means something to Putin, we cannot just be timid. We have to be right in your face. You guys and your nation, we're getting a lot of this hacking coming out of your sector. Now, Putin can say, we don't do that. We don't. But do you really believe, riddle me this, do you really believe anybody hacking out of Russia is doing it without Putin's knowledge? Do you really believe that they could do that? I mean, if that's true, don't you imagine Russia would be concerned? My God, they might turn this thing on us. It's not that hard for us to realize that, but for some reason, the Biden administration, when it comes to Russia and China, they just kind of want it. Well, we kind of need to take an easy approach. I guess they're following what Dr. Fauci said the other day. When we start pressing China for more information about COVID, we got to play nice. We can't be easy in the sense that if we get hard with them, they're going to shut down. If you want anything from them, you got to be diplomatic and polite. You think that's going to gain anything with Putin or China? Again, Texas Congressman McCaul.
I think the president should be very clear to Putin that if these continue, once we do the attribution, which means finding out the source of the attack, that we are going to hit back, and we're going to respond with a cyber offensive attack that we're very capable of doing as a nation. Only until we have that threat to Putin and the Russian criminal organizations will this bad behavior stop. Otherwise, it will continue.
Yeah, it's going to continue. So now we've come full circle again, especially reference Russia. Back to this letter that we began this report or this segment with, that the White House issued an open letter. It's nothing being kept private. But CNN made a big deal like, we got this open letter. What's an open letter, you idiot? You just said this. No, everybody got. Did you get your copy? I didn't get my copy, but you and I weren't on the mailing list. But it went to all major corporations, especially if they had any contact with the government, any contracts with the government, urging the companies treat the threat of ransomware attacks with greater urgency. You need to, quote, view ransomware as a threat to your core business operation rather than a simple risk of data theft. Every company needs to heighten security. These attacks are weapons grade. They're not just casual attacks. That's also inside the letter. Does that not tell you exactly? We know, not just some hacker sitting in somebody's basement in Russia is sending this out. It's with Putin's authority and approval. And the same for China. So let's turn our attention to China. What China has plans for in space and what China's already doing on our campus and inside our corporations. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So let's take a look at what China, what China is doing, trying to infiltrate our nation and our corporations, in addition to our government, our campuses, and what they're trying to do with the young minds that tend to soak up everything someone tells them without really questioning. We've all been there at some point, right? You just kind of took it for that's the way it was. And how many times I had to tell my kids that, no, just because your teacher said the sun won't come up tomorrow, she's wrong. No, she said it would. I was on the verge of trying to hire somebody I would designate as a wise man and say, go ask the wise man. And the wise man would tell them just what I told them. But it would mean something because it came from them. But right now we have too many that just don't see the threat posed by Russia, as we were talking about in the previous segment with the hacking, nor China. I've got here in my hand a piece written by Kenneth Schrupp. He's a editor-in-chief of the California Review, an independent political journal. He says, China has declared a space race, aiming to surpass the West by the end of the decade, and how we respond is of great importance. You know, he talks about that Russian rocket that recently came crashing down. Actually, it ended up in the Indian Ocean. Thank God. But there was concern it could be almost anywhere. And space experts were confused that they're just so negligent in China. They put it up, and if it comes down, they care not where. Apparently, they probably were pretty sure it wasn't going to go back into their country, fall back into China. Beyond that, I wouldn't ask you to, but playing Russian roulette, putting that one bullet in the revolver and spinning it, what they're doing is putting five in and spinning it, because they don't care as long as it doesn't come back to them. So he's pointing out that we have right now the need for the U.S. to start returning its focus to space to ensure the future of mankind is free, open, conducive to American interests, which I would agree with. But he adds that China has proven its commitment. It's already exporting its population control systems to totalitarian regimes around the world, and space will be no different if they get control of it. He points out that in America, our COVID-19 unemployment subsidies fraud costing us nearly 10 times NASA's annual budget. Fraud stole more money during COVID than we spend on NASA. He's also pointing out we can't just sit around and dream and talk about what we're going to happen. Then we have to worry about what's happening on our campuses, the Confucius teaching centers. China on our college campus is a very real thing. Now, do not misunderstand me. Don't start thinking that everyone from China is a Chinese spy. Don't think everyone from Asia would be a Chinese spy. That would be the wrong thing. But there are clear cases where they had not only mixed in with students and gaining the education, but they're also serving as professors in various levels. And in some cases, we may or may not be aware of it. It's a Chinese communist. That's the plan. But unfortunately, many of the Chinese, they still have relatives back in China, and they might be forced to do some of the bidding that they would prefer not to. So when we come back, we're going to be joined by Lee Edwards of the Heritage Foundation. Give us a better picture of what he's called China's grand theft. Not Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft USA. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around under 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest is Lee Edwards with the Heritage Foundation, author of, or editor of, at least 25 books. Lee, glad to have you on board, sir.
My pleasure to be with you again, Larry. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, and I guess we also need to thank your wife for helping you with some of those books, right?
Yes. We have to give her credit or else.
Or else. Well, I appreciate you joining us. I was looking at a piece that you titled China's Grand Theft. Now, before I get into that, the timing of our interview today is just coincidentally going with something that was taking place in Hong Kong yesterday, or this time yesterday, what would be Friday there. And, of course, it all goes back to what happened June 4. You know the event, 1989.
Yep. Tiananmen Square massacre, when we still not quite sure whether it was hundreds or thousands of pro-democracy students were run over by Chinese tanks. It was a terrible day for freedom, and it was also a day that most of the Chinese people never knew about because it was hushed up by the Chinese Communist government.
That picture, that iconic picture of that one young man standing right in the path of a massive Chinese communist tank, that was the picture that described what was happening.
Well, it's extraordinary, Larry, because we have tried ever since then to locate him. We think we may have at one point, but then he disappeared, and it very well may be that through their espionage techniques, the Chi-Coms were able to discover him, and of course, he would never be seen again.
Before you joined us, we were also talking about how NASA, I should say, I don't mean NASA, but NASA needs to get busy because China is obviously declaring a space race, and if they can control space as they control their own territory in China and hopefully the world, we don't stand much of a chance.
Well, they're stealing left and right of all kinds of secrets, dealing with all kinds of things, and including our space program, including semiconductors, and including chemicals, including also experimentation in pandemics, and we know what's happened on that.
Yeah. Now, we have seen, I'm looking at the article that you titled, again, China's Grand Theft. This was appearing in the American Spectator. And you point out of 5,000 active FBI counterintel cases, approximately half of them deal with China. In what way?
Well, as a matter of fact, that was a typographical error, which we haven't caught up. It's not one half, but one fifth. But even so, it's about 1,000 active cases of the FBI involve China. And that is something which has really concerned deeply the FBI. The director, Ray, who said that this is the greatest threat to our intellectual property, and that is the China, what I call the economic espionage, which China is engaged in and has been for these last several years.
Now, that comes in so many different forms. In some case, it comes that we basically have U.S. corporations so anxious to do business with China that they're either giving intel away or opening a back door for them to come in, knowing it almost.
These companies, these U.S. companies, are so desperate to have a chance to penetrate the Chinese market that they're allowing the Chi-Coms to dictate to them. For example, to use, if you're going to do business in China, then you're going to have to use Chinese platforms. You're going to have to allow us to examine what you're finding out, so that right away, from the very beginning, we're making these serious concessions and getting nothing back in turn, because there are many, many U.S. companies which have found it doesn't pay to do business with China when you start have to have it, such things as opening up your records and your files and your folders to the Chinese Communist Party.
You also point out in your article that the targets include Fortune 500 companies, Silicon Valley startups, and so forth, also respected academics, think tanks, and China is very active on our campus in addition to those think tanks.
Yes, they are, with what they call the Confucius Institutes, in which they allegedly are saying, well, if you just want to learn Chinese, you know, come join our institute, or if you'd like to participate in some of our social events, come on by. But what happens is that they take these students and they then turn them into, through offers of, would you like to come to China and spend some time learning Chinese there? Listen, would you know your research that you're doing in artificial intelligence? What would you mind just sharing a little bit of that with us? After all, you know, this is all scientific, you know, this is not political, this is scientific. So right away, they're compromising students like that with these Confucius Institutes, part of their economic espionage campaign.
And how many, I know we've been working to eliminate them, get them off the campuses, and in some cases they have moved off campus, but they're still adjacent or nearby. And, of course, if you speak out against them, Lee, you are obviously xenophobic.
Yes, indeed. And as a matter of fact, because of the research done by Heritage and also by the National Association of Scholars, which has done some wonderful work in this area, about half of those Confucius Institutes have shut down or have been removed and no longer operative. But what concerns me, Larry, is the fact that they have also extended this to high schools. And so there are classrooms now in which you have students learning the truth, what the communists say is the truth about communism, which, of course, is as far away from it as you can possibly imagine. So this is a long-range plan and plan which they have in mind, taking years and years of effort sometimes looking at our schools, sometimes looking at our laboratories, sometimes looking at some of our major corporations and figuring out a way, you know. And, of course, what they're trying to do is to become the number one superpower. This is a direct challenge to us.
Now,
whether or not we want to be dictated to by China.
And how do we discern between those who are just innocent Chinese or Asians who are here studying and not really tied to the government, yet we know they have relatives back in China, so who knows what kind of pressure is being put on them? And how do we, you know, avoid, you know, anyone that looks Chinese or Asian that, you know, we're afraid of them? I mean, we obviously don't want to go there, but how do we discern it, especially at the high school level if they're starting there?
Well, this is where the FBI has experience in this. They can tell based upon, let's say, travel, which is going frequent trips to China.
Well, I can understand the government is, but what about the American public and the schools and fellow students?
Well, yeah, what they need to do is to close down all of them.
Let's say you take all the Confucius institutes out and they're gone entirely. We still have many Chinese that come, or Asians, and one part of the world in that area that come into this country, and they're here to study. And we don't want to look at everyone. And I use the phrase only because it was brought up when someone was saying, "Well, you can't change skin color, and I can't mm-hmm. change my slanted eyes. I mean, I'm always this way?" But you don't always be pointed at, say, that could be a Chinese communist spy. How do we walk that line?
Well, I think it has to be done very, very carefully, indeed. And I think you'd have to tell by the question of what do they say? What do they do? What do they engage in political activity? Are they taking advantage of some of the lax rules and regulations that we have? There's this one scientist who took the hundreds of thousands of dollars which we were paying him as a scientist, and was just passing along the information which he discovered using our money, our research and development, and gave it to China, gave it to Beijing. So I think there we have to be conscious of what is their goal.
You're talking about the scientists Zen, who pled guilty to lying on applications for those N1H grants, and that gets right back to where we are right now with Wuhan Lab and COVID and Fauci. And Fauci finally today sending a letter to China saying we need more details about those three scientists that got sick. How far did we drop that before we – and I'm not sure we're fully awake yet on what happened.
Oh, I don't think we are. It's not to say that it necessarily must have come out of that laboratory, but it certainly is a strong possibility which needs to be investigated, and it was not. And that's what we're now playing catch-up once again. And as a matter of fact, as you know, Larry, some of these government grants have gone to this very same laboratory. So there should be better ways of monitoring what they're up to.
In the last 20 seconds for you, sir, is the Biden administration doing everything it needs to at this point?
Well, I think they're finally catching up. And with the FBI doing the kind of investigations that we've talked about, I think we're going to turning this thing around. But they are intent upon using every possible means they can to steal our secrets. We can't allow that to happen.
I agree. Lee Edwards, as always, we appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, Larry, so much. All the best.
You bet. Lee Edwards for the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, Nikki Haley, our former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., wrote a piece talking about where we stand in dealing with China and that hypocrisy is part of the issue. I think you'll want to hear what Nikki Haley has to say about that. That's still to come. Please stand by.
Well, I got my first truck when I was three. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So Nikki Haley, our former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., wrote a column piece for Fox News talking about how we need to be more aware of what communist China is doing, and we have to deal with U.S. companies. She points out that you look at the list of the primary sponsors of the 2022 Winter Olympics, which are being held in Beijing, and the question still remains, why did they get that? Why did we put it into communist China? And especially with everything that's going on now. And yet you also look at half, she says, of those primary sponsors are U.S. companies. Coca-Cola, spending the last year talking about racial equity, criticizing voting rights bills like in Georgia. And she points out that some of the America's biggest companies are just like Coca-Cola. They've chosen to talk a big game about social justice at home, but continue to prop up injustice abroad, especially in communist China. And as she said, hypocrisy doesn't even begin to describe it. And she's right. The whole record of communist China, I mean, trampling the people of Tibet, wiping out Hong Kong's freedom, she points out, the near daily threats against democratic Taiwan, covering up the origins of coronavirus, of course, leading the world's worst public health crisis in 100 years, the genocide against the Uyghurs. The U.S. has recognized that, but we're still kind of giving them a pass. And then we've got these companies stepping forward to be part of the Olympics. But it's not just the Olympic sponsor, she points out. She said another is Apple. She points out that Apple portrays itself as a company that protects privacy, supports voting rights, fights systemic racism. Well, in China, Apple is planning to store its user data on servers essentially run by the Chinese government. So, you know the company's leaders. The entire Communist Party would have access to that information anytime they want. Anything you put on there that might not be beneficial, you could be rounded up. Major League Baseball, in the meantime, trying to do more with China, inking a deal with the company that's helping the Communist Party keep track of and basically ultimately control the Chinese people, she points out. And, of course, you got various NBA stars and the NBA itself trying to do deals with China. They all want to be in China. If you're a movie company, a movie-making company, you don't dare make a villain in your movie China or even Chinese-looking, even Asian-looking. You need to find someone else. She said, when we hear all these companies that want to tell us to be woke, and then they're turning around and doing deals with China, knowing its history of repression and slavery, even as I speak, of many of its people. And I wish the NBA players and the NBA itself would take a look just at that issue. Just that one issue. Mainly because most of the NBA players are black. They have somewhere in their history, as the whole nation does, possible slaves somewhere in their family that were kept in, brought over slaves, and yet they're willing to ink big dollar deals with China when it's got slaves, basically the Uyghur population serving as slaves to make the shoes, the sweaters, the T-shirts, whatever. And, of course, we have hypocrisy in this nation still. I mean, we got Facebook now facing criticism, obviously, for what it was doing about Trump. And today, Facebook decided it's going to uphold the suspension of former President Trump's Facebook and Instagram accounts for 2 years. 2 years. Citing his, quote, praise for people who engaged in violence. during the January 6th Capitol attack. He did not exactly the way they put it, but who cares? I mean, they don't want to let the facts interfere with it. But the Facebook is saying, given the gravity of the circumstances that led to his suspension, we believe his actions constitute a severe violation which merit the highest penalty available, so we are suspending his accounts for 2 years. 2 years. Remember that oversight board picked and selected by Facebook said, well, you did not really dismiss him properly and suspend him properly. You didn't do it as you should have. You didn't follow your protocol, but you were right to do so. So now Facebook is also saying that it plans to come out with details about some of its past policies under what would lead to strikes and ultimately suspensions. And reportedly, Facebook will tell politicians you've been given a strike. That's your first warning. And, of course, they will have their so-called fact checkers checking for truthfulness. Yeah, I would trust Facebook to be factual every time, wouldn't you? When Zuckerberg and the rest of the social media were cozying up to Dr. Fauci all the time, he was ignoring the possibility that COVID came out of the lab. Not even the possibility. We're going to get into that in more detail in the second hour, because this story has to be examined in detail, and Fauci has to be held accountable, and there's a scary warning regarding the Wuhan lab. That's coming up in our second hour. Let your friends and family know. Join us. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.